I'm going to get you to work with me a little bit on our time together. We're going to spend time thinking about what it means to be a church family, what it means to be in this idea of partnership, particularly in reaching those who do not know Christ. So I'm going to give you a moment just to speak to those around you, and in the light of what Ken had to share a little bit earlier, who are some people in your networks of relationships? Some people are in your networks of relationship. First question, so just share that with the person around you. Some people, you don't have to be saying that you've seen them converted or been able to share Jesus with two ways to live, some thorough gospel explanation with them yet. So who is somebody, and how does it make a difference being in a community or being in partnership with your church family, if it does make a difference at all? So who and how it makes a difference. I'm also going to get Sky to hand around a box of pens that are, well, I found up the back of the church. And if you don't have a pen, you can take them, because I'm going to get you a little bit later to be writing down in your outlines a few different points. All right, you've got 2 minutes. Ask the person around you. As you are thinking about who is in your relational networks, so who are neighbours to you, who are in your friendship groups, who your colleagues are, family members, your locational neighbours, your residential neighbours. These are the people that God has given you. These are the people that God has placed you in relationship with. And today we're going to just be thinking about what the Bible's model for... Should I change microphones? Yeah? Okay, let me change to one of these other microphones. No, don't change microphone. All right, I'll stick with this microphone. As we think about who God has given us, what that means for us as a church family and as us as a church community. We've been looking at this topic of being in partnership. So the last 3 weeks, if those of you that have been with us, we realize we're not alone in this mission of the gospel. And as you see on the front of your outline, there is the statement or the summary verse from the book of Acts that the disciples would be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and to the ends of the earth. And that is how the gospel has gone forward, and it continues to go forward, that we have Jerusalem relationships, those that are in our direct neighborhood. We have regional opportunities, like here in the Molonglo Valley, and then we also have opportunities to bring Jesus to the ends of the earth. And we realize that we're not simply people that are doing this in isolation, but we're very much in partnership with one another. But before we think about the application or the thinking of through the steps that we can be taking, it's really important for us to understand why. It's easy often for pastors to stand up the front of church and say, let's be more active in sharing our faith, and let's be more bold, and let's go do it, and to try and gee each other up in doing that. We know the importance, and we should understand the urgency of the gospel message that needs to go forward. But I think the scriptures don't simply command us to do that, but they see it as a natural outworking of who we are as the body of Christ. And I want us to come to a couple of key passages that Linda helpfully read for us before, and to look at the idea of God's work of salvation in the gospel, God's bringing together a church community, isn't separated from the concept of mission. And so often we can think, oh yes, let's be a church family, let's be loving, let's care for each other, let's be in united fellowship together. And then mission happens sort of out there. They're two unconnected or unrelated activities. But as we look at the scriptures, we'll see that mission itself is at the very heart of what it means to be Christians and in Christian community. And so let's go to these key passages, particularly let's go to 1 John chapter 4. And as we look at 1 John chapter 4, then we'll look at the example of the early church in the book of Acts and see how they, in relationship and in partnership with one another, behave and how God uses that. All right, so 1 John and chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, let's have a look. Dear friends, verse 7, let us love one another, for love, it comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how we know that God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And again, this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What remarkable words here. Here is the very foundation of the Christian message. God has acted in not obligation or duty or guilt, but he's acted in love, sending his one and only Son. And as he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice, as a representative, as a substitution, taking our place so that we now can know eternal life. If you're new to the Christian faith or you're visiting this morning, this in a snapshot is what Christianity is about. God's demonstration of love so that we might be put right and put right back into a relationship with God himself. Here is the outworking and demonstration of the very, very character of the Trinity. At last Sunday night's night church video presentation that was put together for those who are exploring Christianity, the starting point was this very topic of love in the Trinity. And I think it's a beautiful place to begin as you're thinking, who is God and what was there at the very beginning of the universe? It was love. God is love. And the most powerful and clear demonstration of that is in the saving work of Jesus. Now, the Apostle John doesn't stop there. And this is a rich passage that we could spend a lot of time in. But what he goes on to say is that as God has loved us, therefore, go on and love each other. Verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Then jump down to verse 14. The Father has sent his Son, Jesus, as the Savior of the world. Therefore, let's go on and love one another. Verse 19. We love because he first loved us. And then right at the end of that passage, verse 21. Anyone who loves God must also love their brothers and sisters. Here, the work of God's atoning sacrifice of Christ is the very foundation for our behavior. Know this, understand this, have it grip you, and therefore you can love and care for and welcome each other. Now, it's easy to think that this is an ideal out there, and then to say, hey, well, we're a pretty imperfect community. We're full of sinners. there's some real challenges amongst the lives that we live to be able to live this ideal. Friends, I think if the gospel grips our hearts and our lives, we are transformed. We are worked upon by his Spirit so that we are enabled to do this. In a previous church that we were a part of, that Sky and I were a part of in Hong Kong, I got to run some baptism classes. And repeatedly, the people in those baptism classes would say, I have trusted in Jesus and I want to be baptized because what I've seen here at this church is unlike any other community that I've seen in my life. You guys love each other. You care for each other. I wonder whether that is something that people would say about Stromlo Christian Church. I was unwell for much of last year, and I can testify very clearly that you guys cared for me. And I'm so grateful for the love and care and prayer that you showed for me, and that you continue to pray for me and care for me as I continue to try and recover from ongoing health issues. Friends, I believe that we have an opportunity unlike any other time in Australian society. See, our world hungers and craves for community. Australian society is desperate for genuine relationship. And we've got that to offer in the Christian faith in the Christian community, in the body of Christ. We can offer this. We have it. Next week, an important topic of loneliness will be looked at. Steve Krieger will address the topic of loneliness and again, how we function as a community. We have a world and a society where loneliness is becoming epidemic, and yet the gospel can speak into that. God's love and our love for one another is radically different, is so much like, unlike any other love that this world has to offer. And yet, we're people that are given this mission to not just have an insular, loving, closed community, but we're people that are called to go to the ends of the earth as well. So let's now jump to Acts chapter 2 and see how God uses this loving partnership or community for his purposes in expanding his kingdom. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. We see that the early believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, so the teaching of the gospel, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Here they're gathering, and it's not necessarily the breaking of bread in communion. Here's gathering around and enjoying meals together. As people saw them, verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers, they were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone they had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread again in their homes with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And what did the Lord do? The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Here's this early community, the early church. And like I said last week, we have to be careful not to just look at the blueprint, look at this like it is a blueprint in Acts and say this is how we must behave now as Christians, because this is a unique, this is an unrepeatable events and time. And yet I think there's some really helpful principles here. What are these early church members doing? Well, you notice that they're not simply gathering in their own small homes, praying, sharing meals together, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, and it's private. No, notice that it is public. So, verse 46, every day they continued to meet where? Well, in the temple courts. Here they go to where the people are gathering. Those who gather at the temple courts, they see them publicly devoting themselves to the teaching of the gospel, the apostles' teaching. And as people see them, they stand in awe. They're filled with awe, it says. And as they see them, they, verse 47, they see them in public, the early Christians enjoy the favor of all the people. Now this favor turns quickly later on in Acts as persecution breaks out, but here is a public Christianity. It's not a private Christianity. People are seeing that these are a community that love one another. They're caring for each other. They're sharing their possessions. What does it say there at the end of verse 45? As they sold property and possessions, they gave to anyone who was in need. Now, I'm sure there's people in need in this church at this very, very morning. Might not be material need. It might be material need. But I wonder, how are we caring, loving, and supporting one another? Here are people who are dedicated to sharing lives. Friends, it's easy to turn up on a Sunday morning and then have nothing to do with each other throughout the rest of our week, isn't it? A community that demonstrates the love of the gospel that we saw in 1 John chapter 4, it must be a community that is sharing life relationally. Now, many of you are familiar with this. But why is it that we're so slow to care and support and even pray for one another as a church family? Well, when I examine my heart, I think much of my hindrance, reluctance to having you being a part of my life is very much that I don't want you seeing into my life. I want to be kept private. I've got a heart issue in this regard. It's much easier to keep each other at arm's length, isn't it? Because then you don't know what I'm really like. It's much easier to put on the mask and say, hey, I'm doing great. I've got the perfect wife, perfect children, perfect home, perfect job. I'm not letting you near the reality of my life. And yet that's far from reality, isn't it, often? Friends, our hearts often set up boundaries for letting others in. I think our homes can be that case as well. People will often say, my home is my fortress, or there's that statement that, I go and do my relating outside, and I don't want you actually coming through the front door of my home. That's where I live my private life. That's much of Australian society, and in Canberra winters, we don't do much socialising outside of our home. But this week, for instance, someone came to the door, and I was having my day off on Tuesday, had a nice sleep in, was in my pyjamas, and someone comes to the door to drop off a child who's going to be having a bit of a play day with my kids, and I open the door, and they see me in my pyjamas in their Ugg boots, and they are mortified. I don't know, what time was it, Sky? I don't know, 9:30, maybe 10 o'clock. I mean, still in my pyjamas. They were so embarrassed. And I didn't care. I mean, this is my day off. I'm just taking it easy. Then later on in the day, their wife text messaged me and said, I'm so sorry that my husband intruded on you and your day off. She was apologetic. Then he came back later in the day to pick up his child, and he was again apologetic. I think that somehow reflects the fact that we don't easily let people into our homes, into our days when we don't have our formal attire on or our makeup on, or we're sloppy, and we often keep people out, don't we? And yet here, the early church, what they're doing is they're inviting people into their homes. Their homes would have been a lot smaller. Breaking bread, sharing each other's lives. And again, remarkably, as those out there see the lives they live, what does the Lord do? At the end of verse 47, and the Lord adds to their number daily those who are being saved. I can't help but think of that powerful passage in John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35, as Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, there's a new command I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Notice how many times he says that, love one another. You must love one another. If you love one another, the world will see that you are my disciples. Friends, let's not separate Christian community from mission. Mission happens in the context of Christian community. As we love one another, as we care for one another, as we invest in each other's lives, we can be witnesses. And yet again, as I've pointed out, I think we need to examine our own hearts. We need to humbly say, Lord, I know this is tough. Lord, I want to keep people at arm's length. I'd rather not let people into my life. Lord, it's much easier to put on a front than to be real. A friend of mine, their church motto is to be authentic in everything. So every time someone stands at the front or has an interaction, they keep trying to resonate the idea that we are to be authentic in everything we do. Transparent and real. And in that, I think we can love each other and care for each other if we know what each other are going through. Well, how does this then translate into mission to our neighbours? Once again, as I've pointed out, we're not alone. We're in this together. And God has gifted us with relational networks. So this is where I'd like you to take out your pen and in your outline there. We've got these four applications that we've been working through each week. So to pray, to care, to give, and to go. Now these look a little bit different in the different contexts of global mission, regional mission, and local mission. But I want you to just to think about what it might look like to partner one another now. So emphasizing the partnership here of mission. What it might look like as a church family to partner one another in reaching our neighbours, in wanting them to see and hear about the wonder of Jesus. What might it look like? And I'm actually going to ask you to help me out with application for these three sections that you've got on your outline. And as you contribute, at the end, I hope that you can get at least three concrete things that you can be thinking about. If I was to take away now from this mission series, what can I do? What are my next steps that I could take away? Once again, as you think about that, we are not driven by duty or law or obligation. Don't hear me again being a pastor that just tries to beat his congregation around the head and says, you must share the gospel more, you must do more. No. Let's go back to the love of the Father. Be driven by the why and the wonder of Jesus working in our lives. I also should say, as we're thinking about partnership and thinking about the sharing of the gospel, that I have to admit that for me as a pastor, it's a different category for many of you in your workplaces, in your networks. People will often ask me, what do I do? And I say, I work for a church. Then the conversation either goes totally shut up there, don't speak to me anymore, or it means for more conversation. I often have great opportunities to share the why, the wonder of Jesus in my life. Now, there's a lot at stake for a number of you in your workplaces, in your networks, and I want to admit that the challenges that you face are sometimes challenges that I'm not going to be facing. And so I want to support you in that. I want to help you in that, because for many of you, the political correctness in your workplace or the stakes are fairly high for making a stand for Christ. But I think that's reason for us to partner each other even more, to support and care for each other even more in this task, because it's becoming more and more hostile in Australian society. And yet, our society needs Jesus. So firstly, as we're to think about our relational networks, what would it mean to partner in prayer? A very simple thought here. What would it mean to partner each other in prayer if we're going to be thinking about pray, care, give and go? Partnering in prayer to our neighbours. Reaching our neighbours. And I've stopped asking rhetorical questions and asking for your input here. And so we're going to help each other. I was hoping that, the seating is a little bit more tucked in closer. We can share that and I can hopefully hear you okay when the heat is off. Is it too easy to an obvious answer? Absolutely. So to pray for the people in church that we know and pray for the people that they know. One of the great tools to do this would be to be part of a life group. As in life groups, we often think and share about the people in our lives and people we're trying to reach out to. If I haven't promoted already, I just want to promote again the value and the importance of being in a small group for support and being able to pray for each other. Please do. Take the importance of being in a small group seriously. You could pray for me. This week I'm going to spend time with family in Newcastle, and some of those family members, they don't know Jesus. And family are tough. And when we're thinking about our neighbours or our relational networks, it's really hard sometimes, those closest to you, to bring Jesus into those conversations. I'd really value your prayers this week. And in that, you're partnering with me. But we also need to know what's going on, don't we? We need to share each other's lives so that we know how to support each other. All right, we can share each other's struggles, we can share the relationships, we can share the challenges and the opportunities, and in response, pray for one another. All right, what about care? How would we care in partnership? So if we're in partnership with one another, how do we care for each other in the mission of sharing Jesus with our neighbours? Any thoughts? David? Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, excellent. So, just simply making eye contact with someone after church and saying, I'm listening to you, and saying, tell me about someone in your life. I care for you. Yeah, that's brilliant. And then in that, we can encourage and edify. One of the ways we could encourage and edify there, as David's pointed out, is to say, how are you going with your own walk with the Lord? How are you going with being courageous and sharing your faith? How are you going with being part of a life group? So, yeah, encouraging people to be a part of that. All right, one more over here. Okay, you want to? Yeah, okay, we'll go to the give in a moment. All right. So I think fundamentally to care would be to know each other and to listen and to be interested in each other's lives. Okay, how do we give? Now, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about financial giving to Global Mission and to the ministries of Stromlo Church primarily, but this is a little bit different. How could we give in partnership? You could give your time. Yeah. So, Mumbi, I know you're trying to share the gospel with your neighbours, for example, your residential neighbours, but you've got Sonny and Andrew and you don't have the time to go next door. I could give my time and say, hey, I'm going to come and look after, take Sonny and Andrew to the park, while you go and have coffee with your neighbour. Yeah, maybe. Give our time. Go ahead. Yeah. I think that's a brilliant example, Guy. Giving the support by hanging out, being part of each other's lives. So today, if you're inviting your family around for lunch or your friends around for lunch, we could join you and they could meet other Christians. There's a giving there and we'll bring the barbecue chicken. So yeah, that's a giving. Absolutely. To be selfless, to be intentional, our time, our energy, our resources, to support one another. I mean, turning up here to church on a Sunday is absolutely brilliant. I'm so encouraged when I see you guys coming on a Sunday on a cold, wintry morning in the school holidays. Let's give in our care for one another, but let's also reach into each other's lives and give throughout the rest of the week. And that's part of the go as well. As we think about going, let's be proactive in thinking, what do we need to support one another? How can we care? How can we be more intentional and loving as we partner one another? For we're not doing this alone. Well, let's just recap a little bit in thinking, now this is where you guys again are still involved in this, and thinking about maybe three action points in these areas that you could take away from this series. As we're partnering with Mission to the Molonglo, what were some of the ways that, sorry to have to get you to work on a Sunday morning when you just want to listen, but what were some of the things we flagged last week in regards to partnering in Mission to the Molonglo in prayer, care, give and go? You can just shout out some of the things and we can write them down in some of those categories. Going to a cafe, yeah, that's right. Regan's in on that, so let's go and regularly be a part of some of the activities or some of the places in this community so we can be amongst the people. Yeah. The gym as well, that's right. Exercise, cafe, they're right next to each other in Denman Prospect. Yep. Yep, Alan. So yeah, finding where people are gathering again, local playgrounds, the Stromlo Forest bike tracks, the park run on a Saturday morning, where these people meet, and being intentional and relational. And if, yeah, I mean, I enjoy running. I was running in a different park run, and I joined the Coombs Park Run. I have to say I haven't been running all that much recently, but that's been great in meeting people. Any other brainstorming? Carols, absolutely. Yeah, we had 500 people from the local community here at the Christmas Carols. Today I'm talking with someone that is going to hopefully be one of the chief organisers in the Carols, but we need more help as we put that event together and as we connect with the local community. Carols, Easter, Neighbour Day, the different festive events that are on in the community. Yeah. That's right. So God has already given us these networks, and some of us are here in the Molonglo Valley already. Emma's sister Naomi works here at the local school, and meeting some of her colleagues and or some of the families that are part of this school. Okay. What about to the ends of the earth? Praying, caring, giving and going. Not everyone was here 2 weeks ago, but what were some of the things we explored? Yeah, Alan. Nice. Okay, so a prayer booklet, a formal prayer means, CMS put one out. Our global partners are with Pioneers, CMS and Wycliffe, and they have prayer journals and prayer they express the needs and the urgency of some of these places being structured in our prayer life, yeah. Yes, so Compassion is one of our link ministries. Info about specific countries. We have a specific heart for the Philippines, but there's other countries that we can be praying for. Caring, giving and going. Answer their newsletters. Yeah. Yeah, Dave and Jenny said on that video that it's so encouraging when they hear something back from us, and even prayer points, because I know they're committed to praying for us. They read our e-news every week, and when they do return on home assignment, they're often asking me specifics, and, well, how did you know about that? Oh, we read the e-news. Or, you know, they really want to partner. They see themselves in partnership with us. So cards, emails, text message. I can give you their text message. It costs 40 cents or something, most service providers, to send a text message to Senegal. So, you know, send them an encouraging word. Yeah. Karina. Okay. Yeah. So as we travel, praying for opportunities. And we might be traveling to the ends of the earth as we do that, and we can have opportunities. I tried to share Jesus with a Swedish family once, and the only words I knew were Jesus is Lord in Swedish. That's the only Swedish words I knew. This didn't work so well, Karina, I'm sorry. And they turned around, they gave me the death stare, and they said, Jesus is not Lord, we are Jews, and we don't accept that. Oh, that's the last time I'll try that. No, that didn't put me off. I kept trying to share Jesus. God will provide opportunities as we pray. There's a lot we can do, isn't there? And I think this highlights the fact that that every one of us have a role to play, don't we? I'll wrap the application up there, and I want you to just keep thinking about that. And you've got a little action box in your outline there. Love you to take that away. Think about that. We'd love to be thinking more as a church community, particularly about strategy for this valley, our vision goals to see 100% of this valley relationally connected somehow to Stromlo, to have 100% of people in life groups, and to grow this church to, you know, 300 adults. Not so that we can be saying, aren't we an impressive church, but so that more people can hear about this love of God, the love of the Father that he has poured out on us. Let's be active. Let's be people who are thought through. And we need to maybe cut back and think through what is crowding out our lives at the moment. It's so easy just to fill our lives, isn't it? And yet the needs of the gospel are immense. But as we meditate on the wonder of Christ's love for us, I hope that it will be a natural outworking for you, that it will be an overflow, that as we as a loving community are supporting and partnering and caring for one another, that the world will know that we are his disciples and want to be a part of what he is doing. Friends, it's not a simple thing. I find it tough to share Jesus. I need your help. I need your partnership, your support in this task that is unfinished. But friends, let's be people who don't just do this alone in isolation and support one another. Let me finish with one message of partnership that I think is so important for us to remember. And I wrote about it in this week's e-news, if you read our e-news. See, we're not just in partnership together, are we? We're in another very special partnership, a partnership that is of cosmic significance. That partnership is highlighted at the end of the Great Commission, where Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them in my name, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And then he finishes there in that wonderful, encouraging, well, challenging statement, and says, "As you go, as I've commanded you, surely I am with you, even to the ends of the age." See, we are in partnership in this important mission to the ends of the earth, to the Molonglo and to our neighbours, hand in hand or shoulder to shoulder with our great God, the one who has all authority, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his Spirit is with us to the ends of the age. We can step forward with confidence, with courage, knowing that he is with us. How good is that? It's pretty awesome, isn't it? We're not alone. The creator of this universe is with us. And it's remarkably humbling to know that he invites us to be in partnership with him. He actually doesn't need us. He could have written something in the sky that all of us had to acknowledge, or just done something that was blows our mind. But he calls humble sinners like us, broken church family, a redeemed and forgiven church family, to partner him in his mission. It's his mission to see all people acknowledge Jesus as Saviour. What wonderful partnership. What an amazing partnership that is. All right, let's pray. And let's pray for us. Let's pray for the steps that we might take now, that we don't just forget about this as we head out the door. And let's thank God for his partnership, or our partnership with him. Lord, once again, we stand in awe of the love that you have demonstrated for us in Christ. That while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And we thank you for adopting us, calling us your own, and bringing us into your family. This snippet, this small part of your family that is here gathered here this morning, that will gather around your throne for all eternity, every tribe and tongue and nation, your church, declaring, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Thank you, Lord, that we are in this together, that we have a community that can be a powerful witness of love and a witness of the gospel, and a powerful community that can support one another. Lord, stir our hearts, we pray, that our hearts may not be hard and callous to your stirring and keeping distance from those amongst us who care for us and love us and want to share each other's lives. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for when we've put barriers up and want to keep people at arm's length. Lord, I pray for more people to be a part of life groups, that there would be a groundswell of movement, that we want to share each other's lives and gather around your word, committed to the breaking of bread and the fellowship and the teaching of your word. And Lord, as we think of our neighbours, those close to us, we pray for opportunities, but we also pray that we would realise we're not alone in this, that we have each other's back. And Father, most of all, we thank you for the partnership that you call us to be co-labourers with you, co-labourers in your harvest field, so that more people might be rescued from an eternal separation from you, and that more people might know you as their Lord and Saviour. Father, do and continue to do this great work in our church here at Stromlo, and we commit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.